Thanks, Eileen. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Thanks very much, Dermot. Good afternoon on this Wednesday afternoon. Wednesday already. Short week. Of course, the schools aren't back till tomorrow. I don't know why I'm telling you that, because you know already. 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Rhiannon Adam is going to make history if everything goes according to plan, because she will be the first Irish person to go into space. She's a Cork-born photographer. Over the next months or years, she will go up with a number of artists in one of the SpaceX space vehicles and travel around the moon. And we're going to be talking to her later on. She's in a London studio. Really looking forward to that. But we were just thinking about, you know, the fact she's a woman. She's going to space. First Irish woman. First Irish person. And we associate space with men. You know, it's Spaceman, Starman, Rocket Man, all the songs, you know. There's a starman waiting. Thanks, David. Thanks, Elton. Good luck, Babylon Zoo. And even he was Tom, wasn't he? Yeah. This is Major Tom to ground control. I'm stepping through. And of course, initially, it was all men. When space travel started. And I remember watching the documentary about the fascination that popular culture had with space and thus all those songs. David Bowie too there, Starman and Space Oddity. And we were looking at the stats. So over 600 people have been in space and only 75 of them were women. The first woman was a Russian cosmonaut, Valentina Tereshkova. And she went into space in 1963, which was early on. And then I think the first American one was 1983. But anyway, 75 out of 600. So that's about 12.5%. And of course, as we know, the breakdown of male to female in the world is 50-50. So there's a big space travel gap, if you like. And Rhiannon Adam is going to do her little bit for making that gap smaller. And of course, that reflects the world, doesn't it? And how the world works. I was in the middle of my half pigeon this morning. Yeah, I had to look it up there. I hurt myself and there's something wrong with my hip. Anyway, I went to the physiotherapist and she said you have to do your half pigeon among other things. And that's where you bring your sort of facing down in a press up position, and then you bring one of your feet up under your chest. Do you know that one? You do. You know that one. And then you have to go down as far as you can, and that's supposed to extend and loosen up your hip flexors, if that's what to call them. Anyway, it's called a half pigeon in yoga. I was in the middle of that and I was listening to the Morning Ireland, and I smiled when I heard Ronan Kelly when he was doing his bit on what it says in the papers, talk about the correspondence to Minister for Education Norma Foley about the leave insert. Now, a lot of people are writing because they want the same system as was there during COVID, but what made me smile was the fact that somebody had written to the Minister for Education asking her, indeed pleading with her, that the leave insert shouldn't start until after June 10th, 2023. Why, you may ask, is that date so important? Well, that's the date that Harry Styles, global pop star, former member of One Direction, is playing at Slane Castle. So this is how it went. And PA News got this under Freedom of Information. I know that the Leave Insert examination takes place around this time of year, and I'm pleading with you, along with the whole nation of Leaving and Junior Certificate students, to please do not put an exam on the day before the 10th of June 2023, as it will cause major impacts on thousands across the country who wish to attend this particular concert. That's Harry Styles in Slane, June 10th. I hope you understand the impact this concern has on thousands of people that find comfort in Harry Styles and love his music. I myself missed a lot of school in my fifth year because of COVID-related issues, missing out on a lot of education that I have got in a normal year. I write this email on behalf of all Irish Harry Styles fans. Now, I went to see Harry Styles in the Aviva Stadium, and I have to say it was one of the most joyous occasions I've ever been at. And there is something about him that brings out the best in people, and people feel they can be themselves. So there's more to it than the music. There's a community around Harry Styles. The problem is, of course, that traditionally the Leave Insert starts on the first Wednesday of June, which this year will be the 7th of June, Wednesday the 7th, which means that it will start and Harry Styles will be the next weekend. I doubt it, but you never know. I doubt that the Minister for Education is going to change the Leaving Cert because of a Harry Styles gig. It's on the Saturday, so you could go along and be back home and be studying on Sunday. Anyway, that made me smile this morning. He's all over the place at the moment, Harry Styles. I see, as it was, is the most popular British single in Britain from 2022. And they're talking about the length of that song, 2 minutes and 47 seconds. And Adam Sherwin writes an article about the length of current pop songs, saying that they're shorter because of a TikTok generation. So as it was, 2 minutes and 47 seconds. It's about attention span, and it's about, he goes into it, the science of it, that for TikTok and Spotify and all those things, you have to get straight into the song and has to be immediately impactful. And that's the way songs are going. But of course, back in the day, songs were a lot shorter. Like, I'm thinking of some of Elvis Presley's songs were less than 2 minutes. And didn't somebody do analysis on the perfect pop song and its length was 2 minutes and 45 seconds? What happened in the intervening years was that we got prog rock and overindulgent rock stars, and they started extending the songs and they became too long. Anyway, we went again and did some research on your behalf. So Elvis Presley, All Shook Up was 1 minute 57 seconds. That was 1957. Then 1968, Hey Jude, with that long... Hey, na 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 na, 7 minutes, 11 seconds. Bohemian Rhapsody, which was a hit a number of times around, 5 minutes and 55 seconds. And there's a great scene in the movie of the same name where Freddie Mercury and the boys are arguing the point with the record company executive, that he's saying, you can't release a single that's 5 minutes and 55 seconds long. And they're saying, it's that or it's nothing. And of course, they knew best. Hotel California, 6.5 minutes. The Clash, White Riot, less than 2 minutes. And then the average ones are about 4 minutes. I'm looking at Duran Duran. Most of their songs are around 4 minutes. Old Town Road was only 1 minute 53, and Harry Styles as it was. So it's sort of an evolution of the pop song and its length. While we're on that sort of thing, there's a lovely app. It'll just, and it's mad that we're now feeling nostalgic about an iPod, but that's the way things move on, particularly technology. You can go on to your into your app store and download RetroPod, and it makes your phone like an old iPod with all the feel, all the tactile feeling. You know, the little clicks when you do the round and all that, when you do fast forward and all the little clicks. So it's called RetroPod, and it is free currently on the App Store. I don't know what you're giving up by way of information you're giving them, but that's their RetroPod. 515-51 ray at rte.ie. Now, I'll play this song and I'll tell you about it in a moment, but it came up on the telly last night and I just thought, wouldn't that make you smile? Wouldn't that cheer you up on a dreary enough Wednesday afternoon at the beginning of January 2023? So here it is. Hello. Yeah, 5151 ray at rte.ie. Sing along at home. Foundations, Build Me Up, Buttercup. And that was on one of those American sitcoms that Tom was watching last night. And I thought, that's a cheery tune. And then I went in to the office this morning, or the place that I sort of do all my work, and I got on Spotify and I have a playlist of 50 cheery tunes, which is up there. So if you need a little bit of cheering up music wise and you want songs that put a smile on your face, there are 50 cheery tunes available if you go onto our website. Did hate Dire Straits' Love Over Gold album. Great long songs, great for driving too. I just looked that up. There's Telegraph Road, which is the opening title, the opening track on that, which is 14 minutes and 16 seconds. There's only 5 songs on the album, and the running time is 41 minutes and 7 seconds. So that's averaging out at just over 8 minutes a song. Don't forget American Pie. I think it's about 8 minutes. Somebody else. And Ray, Rieslane, Castle Gigs, Thin Lizzy, Rolling Stones, Bob Dylan, Santana, Bruce Springsteen, Queen, Harry Styles, Just Not Right. Paul, yeah. You're getting a thumbs down from the gallery out there. You know, I was at him, and he's a showman, and he has something, and he's a star. He may not have the back catalogue that Thin Lizzy, Rolling Stones, Bob Dylan, Santana, Bruce Springsteen and Queen have, but he definitely has something, and I think he's going to be around for a very long time, is Harry Styles. Okay, let's get to our quiz. Press the button there. Thank you. Yeah, we're looking for two of you to come on after 4 o'clock and answer three questions each on bits of songs, news reports, TV shows and movies. And there is a prize, and it's a lovely prize. It's the week of Nollaig na mBan, 6th of January. And if you know someone who deserves pampering and could do with a special relaxing city break, or you would love to win one yourself, it's courtesy of our friends at Brooks 4-star Boutique Hotel in the heart of Dublin. So it's a 2-night stay with breakfast each morning and a delicious dinner on one night in their famous Francesca's restaurant. And it's there on Drury Street, surrounded by some of the best boutiques and visitor attractions the city has to offer. There's a municipal car park directly opposite where special overnight rates are available to residents, which is a big thing. Brookshotel.ie, Dublin number 670-4000. And they've loads of offers there if you go to brookshotel.ie. Here's our qualifying question on this Wednesday afternoon. Two Irish contestants are set to appear alongside Alan Sugar on which UK show? Is it The Veteran or The Apprentice? Two Irish contestants are set to appear alongside Alan Sugar on which UK show? Is it The Veteran or The Apprentice? 0818715925. That's 0818715925, and good luck with that.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, the Irish Times is reporting today about Irishman Bernard Phelan, who has gone on hunger strike in an Iranian prison. 3 months after being detained by authorities there, Bernard, who is 64 years old, has denied all charges of inciting propaganda against the regime in Iran. His sister, Caroline Massey Phelan, is on the line now. Good afternoon, Caroline.
Hello, Ray. Yeah. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. Tough time for you and your family. Yourself and Bernard are very close.
Yes. We grew up, of course, together and moved to Paris. A little bit of an interval between the two of us, but we both work in tourism. We follow the same career paths, really. He was my big brother.
Yeah, and role model, I suppose, was he?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. And who else is in the family?
My dad, Vincent, he's 97, and he's living in Blackrock. And we were at three. My brother, Declan, sadly passed away about 16 years ago.
It's just
Bernard and myself.
Right, probably brought you closer together.
Absolutely, yeah. We've been looking after my dad from a distance and often flying over to back and forth to Dublin once a month to see him and care for him.
So, as you say, both you and Bernard work in tourism, and tourism is what brought Bernard to Iran. Just give us a bit of background there.
Absolutely. Yeah, Bernard worked in tourism when he came out of UCD. He worked in the Eastern Region Tourist Board at the time, or Dublin Tourism. And then he worked in Fáilte, Ireland, and he got a job in Paris with them and stayed a few years in Fáilte, Ireland over there. And after that, he set up his own company and was setting up websites. Well, it would have been Minitel at the time in France, but websites then for tour operators to help them sell their products to consumers. And then, I joined, I worked in tourism as well since university, and also moved to Paris, worked for an Irish tour operator, incoming tour operator, and then for Tourism Ireland.
And where did the relationship, Bernard's relationship with Iran start?
He went on holidays to Iran in 2018. He was always interested in taking the adventure tours, adventurous countries. He'd never go to sort of the easy option country. Even back in the 70s, he was going to Africa and Eastern Europe, where everybody was going to Spain and then France, but he would be going as far as he could away with a rucksack. So he was on a holiday and fell in love with the country and the wonderful people there. And offered to help the tour operator he was on holidays with to expand their business in Europe. And so then took them on as a consultant, on a consultancy basis, and represented them in the market, promoting their adventure tours.
So he has been responsible for the last number of years in getting people from France to Iran. to go on holidays.
Absolutely. Right, okay. Absolutely. Yeah, working to send tourists to Iran, helping Iran, and sending people to Iran. I know it's there's a crazy situation.
Yeah, there's an irony there. Now, he flew out in September, did he?
He went out on the 17th of September.
Right.
Yeah, on a planned, pre-planned educational trip. And travelled around the country with the CEO of the tour operator to discover new products.
Yeah, going to different places, Bernard would say, well, this will be a good spot, and they could go, you know, whitewater rafting or whatever down the road and that sort of thing.
Absolutely, you've got it. Yeah.
That was the day after or before Mahsa Amini was killed in police custody. After, right. So the day after. Right. So it was beginning. It was the beginning of unrest in Iran.
It was. I mean, he didn't envisage, obviously, this would happen. It was a pre-booked trip.
And when you saw the stories coming out, about Mahsa Amini and then the subsequent protests, you were obviously worried enough, were you? Or was he safe? Was he in contact with you?
We were. He was in contact with also myself and his partner, but he was. We weren't really overly worried. We said, well, you know, protests, you know, are often regional and in some parts of a city that you can avoid, etc. So we didn't think that he was really going to be in danger. And also as an Irish citizen, I mean, why would he be in danger?
Yeah, and this is where it gets a little bit complicated. Not overly.
Yeah.
But he travelled on a French passport. For what reason?
He did indeed. It was because he has dual nationality, and it was faster for him to get a French visa.
Than with an Irish passport. When
it took a little bit longer, and he just said, "Oh, I'll go for that one."
Yeah, and when, Caroline, did you hear about the fact that he was being detained?
He missed his he didn't come home on his flight. He was due home on the 10th of October, and he wasn't on the flight. So that was, you know, really very strange. No phone call, nothing. So immediately knew there was a problem. And so I reached out then to the Irish consular ambassador representative, which is the nearest to Iran, was in Turkey. So they have an online system. I wrote to them and then they immediately got back to me.
And what did they say?
They just said they would look into it, and they couldn't confirm where he was, what was happening. But we had that information quite quickly from the Iranian tour operator who he was with. The CEO was held as well, but let go a few days later. But we got information from the head office that they had been caught or stopped and arrested. So we got that information. We were able to share that with the Irish authorities. And then about a week later, the Irish authorities were able to confirm that Bernard was being held in the prison in Mashhad, which is up near the Afghan border.
It's a big city. I think it's their second biggest city.
It's a very conservative city.
Right.
Yeah.
And he was traveling with Iranians, of course, as well, because they were shown him around. So then you were frantically trying to contact him. When did you hear his voice for the first time?
I haven't heard his voice.
You haven't heard it. So who has he been talking to then?
He's been talking to the Irish consular, team,
right,
in Iran, and also the French.
So he has told them that he was in solitary confinement for 2 weeks.
Indeed.
Yes.
Indeed. He's in frequent contact with them on the phone,
right,
but not with us. We've only had two phone calls, not with me, but two phone calls to my dad for his 97th birthday in November,
right,
and his partner, and that's it.
And he's in Vakilabad prison. And
that's it.
It doesn't have a good name.
No, he's on death row, which is where his cell is, with 15 other prisoners.
And what's he been accused of?
Propaganda against the regime. But he gets accused of something different nearly once a month. In the 3 months, he's got three different accusations. So he's very much a pawn in a big political story.
Because the Iranians were accusing the French of stoking up the protests.
Yeah.
And of course, he's travelling under a French passport with a group of French people.
Indeed.
So wrong time, wrong place, wrong passport.
Wrong passport, wrong place, wrong time. Absolutely. Yeah. And he was firstly accused of taking photographs of a burning mosque and two policemen. Then he was accused of sending those to a newspaper in the UK. Then he was accused of taking bits of pottery. But none of them, like, he's denied all of those things. Very much caught up in a political scenario. I mean, there's seven moment being held.
Would a justice system that's, you know, there's been a spotlight on it since the death of that woman in September, Mahsa Amini. So they don't have a very good name at all, to understate it. So he's in a cell now with how many others?
He's in with 15.
15, right. And what are the conditions like?
Pretty bad. Nothing on the ground. So it's on the ground, no windows, just bars on the windows. So it goes down to -5 at night. So they have to put cardboard on the windows. And because they have to do that in the day, it's quite dark during the day. Mm. He gets about an hour and a half to walk outside, see the sky.
And what's the sanitary situation?
I think it's okay.
It's okay, right.
They have a bathroom for the 15.
Okay.
They are allowed to cook, not with an oven, but they're allowed to cook in a kitchen. So they cook their own food. So, it's...
And that brings us on to food. And so he's gone on hunger strike, Bernard has, since New Year's Day.
Exactly.
Right. And because... He felt maybe that his message wasn't getting out there. Was that it or what?
Totally, absolutely. He's at the end of his tether. All the efforts that he made by the ministers of foreign affairs or minister of defence have not led to any positive results. And he's seen nothing happening to help him get out. He has no, you know, all his letters, correspondence, books, everything. Has been denied to him. We've hired a human rights lawyer in Iran. She's been denied access to him. He wants out. He's at the end of it. Like he just said to, he's written, I'd rather die than stay here.
And I know he's been hospitalised over the last 3 months.
Yeah, he has a heart condition. So he has been hospitalised and he's also handed in his medication. So it's not just hunger. It's also he's handed in his medication. So yeah, we're very worried about him. I mean, you know, he's Irish. He has no beef with the Iranians. He loves the Iranians. It's just so unfortunate, this situation for him. My dad.
Yeah.
For my poor dad, who's listening, I'm sure, now.
How are you, Vincent? How is your dad? He's 97.
He's 97. So he's wonderful. He's holding up wonderfully, but we are surrounded by amazing friends and family who, you know, really look after Dad and keep an eye on him.
Mm. Mm. What would you say to Bernard if you could talk to him about going on hunger strike?
Oh, gosh. I've written to him. I've said, you know, Bernard, I understand. But we're just so worried about you. We're just so worried about you. And to think of people back here also just so worried about him. But I do understand why he wants to take this step. He's a very strong personality. He's a fighter. He wouldn't give up. You know, I think he's doing this because he can't do it anymore.
Mm. And you've been onto the Iranian...
He wouldn't hang on.
Yeah, you've been onto the Iranian ambassador here, Dr. Islami, and he said, please be assured that authorities on both sides are in contact and working on solving this problem. Have you written to the Taoiseach, the new Minister for Foreign Affairs, Micheál Martin, former Taoiseach, new Minister for Foreign Affairs, Micheál Martin? He's been written to as well.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And we wrote to the President as well, Michael D. Higgins.
Right.
Yes.
And any response to any of those correspondents?
Very much just that they're doing their very best efforts to try and help the situation, but the best efforts haven't got us anywhere in 3 months. So that's why we decided to make it public, Bernard's situation, because it was just getting, you know,
And what advice were you getting? What advice were you getting, Caroline?
Very much to have faith in,
right.
in
but
the
I'm,
system.
I'm going
have
public
faith
on
in
it.
The system.
Oh, yeah. So don't go public on it, I suppose, was the advice, was it?
Well, there is a risk. You know, there is a risk of going public because the Iranians could not, maybe not appreciate us going public. And that could risk Bernard's safety or the communication, the valuable communication that we currently have with Bernard, which is, you know, essential. So there is there was a risk talking to media, but Bernard was prepared to take that risk, and it was really on his initiative that we reached out to initially the Irish Times.
Yeah, Conor Gallagher, the Irish Times. Yeah,
indeed. Yes.
I see you've sent him a hot water bottle. He didn't get that, did he?
No, hot water bottles are forbidden in Iranian prisons. He uses Coca-Cola bottles now.
And what, they heat them? They put water, hot water into them, do they, to keep them warm?
Indeed,
overnight.
Yeah. Right. Coca-Cola is available in Iran,
right?
But not hot water bottles.
Right. And is it a glass bottle? It must be a glass bottle. Or a plastic
it must
bottle.
Be a glass yes, bottle, probably, yeah. Or, I don't know, maybe plastic. I don't know.
Well, either would work, probably.
Didn't
if the water
get that
wasn't too
detail.
Hot. Yeah, yeah. Oh, God. And there's, I suppose, the fact that you're so far away and you feel maybe useless, that's the thing, isn't it? That you want to do so much, but you can't do anything, in a way.
That's exactly it, Ray. It's, have we turned every stone over? Have we done everything we should be doing? And that's challenging, because this is a daily issue. Like, I'm in contact with consular services or Bernard every day for the past 3 months now. Have we done this? We should write to such and such. We should write to this person and that person. And what can we do? But, you know, this is... We have no frame of reference to deal with this.
But that's the
I
thing,
don't
isn't
know
it? No,
what we should be doing.
Yes, yeah, I don't. but that's the thing, and there's no rhyme nor reason, for want of a better expression, with how these regimes operate. You know, and you would think what is just, what is fair. This man was encouraging people to come to your country, you know, provide jobs in your country. Does it not make sense that he's on sort of on your side in a way? But none
absolutely.
Of
absolutely,
you can't argue the point like that with a lot of these people.
And the you know, the Irish are so well recognised and so well loved across the world. And it's such a shame because, you know, the Irish have absolutely no issue with Iran themselves. There's no political issue here beyond, I think, opening an embassy. I know that the Irish were interested prior to all of this in opening an embassy in Tehran. But I just can't see why he would remain there and why they keep somebody of 64-year-old and bad health who's just done wonderful things for Iran. Yeah,
so what happens next?
It makes no sense.
What's the most recent correspondence then?
Just before I came on to the show, we just got a little note from Bernard to say that he was drinking honey water or some sort of drinks to try and keep his strength. And he actually wrote to the Irish minister, Micheál Martin, via the consulate just to tell him about his conditions and see if anything can be done to get him out.
Okay.
That's the last news.
Yeah, and we did, have I got that response from the Department of Foreign Affairs? There it is. Yeah, sorry. And we put in a query to the Department of Foreign Affairs, Caroline, and we said we're going to be speaking to you and his family are calling on the Irish government to do more to intervene on his release. Is there a response to this? And they say the Department of Foreign Affairs is aware of the case and has been providing consular assistance in close coordination with France since the outset. The case has also been raised directly with the Iranian authorities. As with all consular matters, the department does not comment on the details of any specific case. And we also put in a request to the Iranian embassy in Ireland, but we haven't heard back from them. So... Caroline, mind yourself, and I really hope that there's a good outcome to this. sooner rather than later.
Well, we need it. We really need it. And especially my dad.
Yeah.
You know.
And Vincent, virtual hug to everybody concerned. Caroline, thank you. I'm sure we'll talk again. For the
and
moment,
thanks
thank
for
you.
Your care,
yeah, thank,
Ray.
Thank
and
you.
It's very touching. Thank you very much. Very bye to all the team.
The Ray
there
Darcy
bye.
Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
My next guest is a Cork-born photographer, and if things go according to plan, she will be making history when she becomes the first Irish person to go into space. Leanne and Adam, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Ray?
Good to talk to you.
You too.
Do you feel a bit of pressure?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be human if I didn't feel a little bit of pressure.
Yeah, this is amazing. So it's SpaceX and it's a Starship. It's Starship. Has Starship flown yet?
No, it hasn't. They're just gearing up now for an orbital launch of the whole assembly. It'll be, well, Starship Super Heavy is what we're going on, where they kind of link Starship with Super Heavy rocket and the two parts will go off together. And that's what we'll be travelling on.
Right. And how long is the expedition?
Well, it's between 6 and 8 days.
Yeah.
So 7 days I'm going for as a nice happy medium. It's literally leaving Earth and going on a lunar orbital mission around the moon and then coming back to Earth, we hope.
So you would be going to the dark side of the moon?
Exactly.
Whoa.
Pink Floyd would be very proud.
Yes, yes. And I've just read there, the Starship is going to be within 200 metres of the lunar surface.
Yeah.
Cool.
I know, I can almost touch it.
Yes, yeah. Spectacular. This is spectacular. This is so exciting. I'm so excited for you. So it's all because of a guy called Yusaku Maezawa.
Indeed.
Tell us about him.
So MZ is, well, he's a Japanese billionaire and entrepreneur, and he is very passionate about art and he has a massive art collection. And he decided that instead of taking scientists who spend... Well, I suppose up until now, they've been the kind of dominating factor in space exploration. He's decided to take a bunch of artists and creatives to be able to translate the experience of going to space for everyday people. So that's where we come in.
What a brilliant idea.
I mean, it's kind of groundbreaking, I think, just in terms of being able to think differently about science. I think it's really important sometimes.
So there's you, there's an Indian actor, there's a Korean rapper, or is there a pop singer? Yeah, singer.
Yep.
And then there's so you're there as a photographer, are you? Is that your main skill? Yeah. Although you do other things, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, I write a lot.
Yeah.
I'm a photographer, but not in a traditional sense. As in, I'm not. I don't shoot weddings. I don't really shoot products. You know, I'm not the kind of photographer that you generally think of.
So you're going up there and you're going to bring a camera or two or five. And he said responsibility that comes with leaving the Earth. So he has said this, that there is a great responsibility that comes with leaving the Earth with reference to you. So he's expecting big things from you and the seven other creatives who are going up into space at his expense.
pressure again. Don't tell me this, Ray. Don't tell me this now.
Yeah. Well, but look, I'm going to load on the pressure, Rhiannon, because there's more to come. There's more to come. That must sort of cross your mind the odd night when you're lying awake looking at the stars on your ceiling. So what do you think will happen? What, do you point a camera out a window? I don't know. What do you do?
Well, thankfully, there's quite a lot of windows in this one,
right.
So we're not going to have to be elbowing each other out of the way. I'm mainly worried about how I'm going to get any sleep at all. I can't imagine that I'll want to go to sleep when we're only there for a week. So by the end of it, I'll probably look rather bedraggled. Obviously, everything functions in a different way in space. So we have to kind of rethink every single kind of day-to-day process, but also in terms of trying to make work in space, it's going to be completely different. So I'm really excited about I think the opportunity that that gives me to think differently about what I'm able to produce and, you know, to be able to meet scientists or people that have done this before, people that have had experience in working in extreme conditions and being able to think about, you know, problem solving. I think that's really exciting.
The figures are astronomical. How many people applied for this?
Yeah, like a million people. I should have played the lottery, but in a way I'm kind of glad I didn't, because maybe that would have used up my luck.
Yeah. And did you realise that? Or you sound like one of those people who sort of stumbled into this, which is annoying, I suppose.
It's annoying for everyone else, yes, but kind of good for me.
Yeah.
I stumble around most places, to be fair. That's how I find most things in life. Don't put too much pressure on yourself and you end up kind of bumping into opportunities. That's what I always think. I really didn't have any clue about the number of people applying for this. I mean, I had some inkling that maybe it was slightly oversubscribed just because I saw a lot of people on the internet who had posted these kind of profile pictures with themselves in a space helmet.
Right.
And I had sort of thought, what is this? And eventually I stumbled upon what it actually was, which is the Dear Moon project. But, you know, when I threw in my application, it was a website, it was an open form, almost like Google Docs. So I didn't really think in any great detail, you know, about ever actually coming to the point that I'm at now where it's real.
And when did you find out and how did you find out?
I mean, I've known for a while, so I've had to keep it shtum for quite a long time, which has been difficult. You know, as an artist, the worst question and the one that you dread most in life is, what are you doing next?
Yeah.
You know, it's the worst. I brought out a book in April, and as soon as I brought the book out, I kind of thought people would want to talk to me about that, but no, everyone just wanted to talk to me about what I was doing next.
Yeah.
And I had to sort of sit there twiddling my thumbs and say, not a lot.
Thanks for that. I'll keep that in mind when I'm interviewing people in the future.
No plans. So when I actually found out about it, I was in Israel at the time, and I was there actually doing something to do with the book. And, you know, I was on my way out the door virtually when I got an email saying, hey, would you mind doing one more interview? And I thought, not another one. I mean, honestly, that was my first response. I thought, how many more questions can they ask? Anyway, it wasn't an interview at all. It was just MZ on screen. And he kind of looked back at me and just said, will you come to space? And it felt like the most bizarre proposal I've ever received. Actually, the only proposal I've ever received, I should clarify. Any takers?
Exactly. Mizawa, so MZ. So
yes.
Is he one of the richest men in the world, one of the coolest men in the world as well? Is he? Or
I mean, he seems pretty cool to me. You know, he was a drummer originally,
right.
So he's not the typical businessman.
And how did he make his money?
He made his money, well, it actually started up a CD import and export business. And it's funny, it throws my mind back to being in Tower Records and buying Japanese imports. So I was probably involved in making his riches indirectly. and then he founded like an online fashion retailer that's absolutely massive in Japan. Yeah. And
I'm reading your biog here, and I can see what has prepared you for this. So born in Cork. Whereabouts in Cork?
Indeed. Well, yeah. So I was born in Cork City, didn't spend very long in there. I actually grew up in a house called Rathraut, just outside of Ballinadee near Bandon.
Right. And then at the age of 7, your parents come to you and say what?
Well, we were in Kinsale actually, and my parents found an ad for a boat that was for sale on a pub notice board, as most information seems to travel in Ireland. and we ended up buying this boat and went off into the kind of blue abyss. But the deal had been that we were going to return to Ireland by the time I was 12. It just never kind of wound up that way. So I sailed around for a very long time, and I wound up in London, and my mum now lives in the States and my dad's in Thailand. So we all kind of spread out.
Right. What was the name of the boat?
Yanis.
Yanis.
Yanis. It means Little John. It's bad luck to change a boat's name.
Ah.
So
you have to leave it as it is. Okay.
Yeah, you have to leave it as it is.
So you were leaving probably a small national school.
Yeah.
In West Cork, and you were taken to the sea, just you and two adults, so no other siblings.
Nope.
Wow. How long did you do that? How many years?
So I came back I came to the UK when I was a teenager. So yeah, it was the best part of my life.
Your
really.
Formative then, years, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So that makes you something, doesn't it?
Well, it's a weird. I mean, in some ways, an adult, I can kind of look back on it as a sort of positive in some senses, but of course, it's brought out many negative traits. Like, I'm very good at saying goodbye to people because you make friends quickly, and
sorry,
then you're
I
good at saying
leaving.
But it's worked out well, yeah, for space. I'm good in an enclosed environment, should we put it that way?
Yeah.
I'm comfortable with other people's bodily functions at close quarters.
Right. These are all positives. Yes.
You know, exactly. When I think about it now.
Yeah. And what are your memories? You know, what are your memories of a 7-year-old? Leaving, you know, your friends and the place that you knew and setting off on the Atlantic Ocean. Have you any clear memories?
I mean, to me, I was brokenhearted leaving Ireland, to be honest. My best friend, Lee, like, I used to practice his name in handwriting every day, and I would write him postcards from wherever we stopped. And, you know, I never wanted to leave Ireland. Yeah, it was a real struggle for me. And I remember us leaving because we had these Ballon and Dee Crusaders sweatshirts, yeah, that a friend of ours had made. And it just didn't feel real with the Guinness symbols on the front. And off we went on the boat. But we had to leave twice, actually, because the first time we left at the wrong time of year. So we did a complete turnaround. And I remember my mum shaving her toes to disguise herself in the municipal swimming pool so that her best friend wouldn't realise it was her. She's like, she'll never recognise me if I shave my toes. She'll never recognise me.
Oh, that's brilliant detail. That's,
there you go.
So you're a type of person then, and obviously MZ, if he doesn't mind me calling him MZ, he spotted that in you, and that's why you emerged from a million applicants to be one of eight.
I mean, it was interesting meeting him, actually, because I think he goes against so many of the stereotypes that we have about what we think a billionaire is going to be like when we meet them. He just wanted to know. I wear rings on my right and left hand, like I'm covered in them.
Right.
And he wanted to know the stories behind all of them. And he wanted to know if we'd ever seen pirates, or, you know, he wanted to know about life experiences,
yes,
much,
yeah,
more.
Yeah.
And I guess you have to figure that out, because you have to work out if you're going to like the people that you're going to be stuck in a capsule with.
Because he's going up as well. I forgot to mention that.
He is.
Yes,
yeah. He's going up too. So, you know, he has to work out if we can get on and, you know, what we all like as a group. So we spent a good amount of time together and interacting and trying to, you know, I suppose, figure out personalities.
We were talking about women in space. So over 600 people have been in space. Only 75 of them are women. Mm-hmm. Were women. So you're going to be one more if and when it happens. And are you the only female of this crew?
Yeah, I mean, there's two backup crew. So if someone breaks a leg just before we leave, or catches the flu or something like that, then there's two. There's Miyu and Caitlin. Miyu's a dancer and Caitlin's an Olympic gold medalist, right, in snowboarding. And so the two of them are waiting in the wings.
So you're representing women? As well as, you know, whatever, photographers or whatever. And then you're also representing the, or do you feel like you're representing the LGBT community, or is that
of
part
course.
Of it? You do, yes.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, in a massive way, I think it's really important. I mean, you know.
So what's the history of the LGBT community in space then?
There's basically not a lot.
Right.
There's Sally Ride, and, you know, she essentially came out in her obituary when she said that, you know, when it was written that she was survived by her partner of 27 years. And then there was another woman more recently, but she wasn't out at the time that she went to space, even though she was actually married. And this kind of says so much, I think, the way that people felt compelled to conceal their personal lives because they were afraid, you know, that actually this would have an impact on their career. And I mean, historically, that has been the case. Mm. NASA was very connected, of course, to the military. So there is a history of kind of, you know, probably there are more gay people and queer people that we know than we know about, but many of them would have flown under the radar because of don't ask, don't tell policies and such. So, you know, it's really important to me. And I think, you know, there are more than, I think there's about 10 countries in the world where my existence is punishable by the death penalty. And I think people forget this, that when we live in a nice, cushy Western country where it's all quite accepting, that actually there are people dying for being who I am. And I think that we can't underestimate that. And, you know, the great part about space is that, you know, so far we've not had a war in space. It's we've come to certain kind of international agreements in space that we haven't managed to broker on Earth. And I think that everyone has a fascination with space, and it has this transformative aspect, which, you know, it goes across cultural, geographical
boundaries.
It's
borderless, I suppose.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And we
so
all
far,
look to space.
I don't see how they could put borders in space. But
it's quite difficult.
Yeah, I know, but they'll dream up something.
I'll have the moon. You can have you can have Venus.
I'll have the dark side. Mars. I'll have the dark side, please. Thank you very much. Allergic to the sun. Yeah. So that's all of those things. And then the Irish thing, which is huge, isn't it, for a small country? And
of course.
I've interviewed a number of people who've signed up for various things over the years to get into space, and none of them were successful. So that begs the question, and I apologise in advance, what happens next?
Well, what happens next? Well, at least you're not asking about what project I'm working on next. That's when it gets really bad. Well, what goes on next? I mean, so we're waiting for this orbital launch to take place.
So that's a test flight, is it?
Yeah, it's a test flight. Yeah, not with us on it.
Yeah.
We're not going to be testing the orbital launch, thankfully. Well, yeah. I hope not. They haven't told me if that's the case. Guinea pig. And then from that point on, then we'll start to figure out when our launch window will be. And then once we have the launch window in place, then we'll start our training. I don't know the extent of the training, and I've kind of on purpose not asked too many questions about it, because in a way I quite like leaving life to the process and be able to experience it with, you know, sort of fresh, excited abandon. Whereas I think if I know too much about it, I'll be sitting there Googling and worrying about it. And I think sometimes it's just better just to trust in it. So I've obviously done a little bit of that myself. So I did watch, you know, in a very sort of 2023 manner, I did watch the Netflix Inspiration 4 documentary, which is SpaceX training astronauts.
Right.
And
there's a good few movies out there as well, you know.
But this one is a bit more, you know, nitty gritty.
It shows you that
like real people actually training.
Yes,
so
no,
I'm just
joking.
Hoping.
Like, you don't want to Sandra Bullock and George Clooney.
No. Although I have seen all of these.
Yeah.
I have seen all of these.
Yeah. Oh, you've seen them all, have you?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So what's the timeline then? Like, when do you think this is going to happen?
Well, I mean, we're still going to the timeline that SpaceX have provided. I mean, dear Moon, which is end of 2023.
Okay. Wow.
So if all goes to plan, that's what's happening. And I guess we'll find out more about that in the kind of coming weeks, months.
What's your overriding and recurring thought on this, Rhianna?
Well, what, just in general?
Yeah, what's the thought that keeps coming back to you about it when you think about it?
I mean, part of me kind of thinks, I can't believe it's me. And, you know, little old me, this seems completely ridiculous. But on the other hand, you know, I think my biggest, I suppose, fear about it is that I'll come back to Earth and nothing will ever feel the same again. Mm-hmm. Or that I will feel dissatisfied in some way, or that, you know, it'll be kind of, I'll have completed life, you know? What will I do next? There's a bit of a fear of that. And there's also a fear, I suppose, of having outed myself now to millions of people, that I have lost my anonymity slightly and my ability to go to lots of places in the world that maybe I would have been interested in travelling to or visiting. And now, because I'm sort of so out and proud with my identity, that perhaps that's impacting on that. Yeah, and so there's like a life change associated with it, which like, of course, I'm excited about the space element, but I'm worried about the human element, you know.
Yeah, well, please come back and talk to us after it happens, and we'll find out if it has changed you. It will, but I think it's going to be a very positive experience. I'm sort of jealous. Rhianna and Adam, thanks for talking to us today, and good luck with everything. We'll keep in touch. Thanks,
Rhianna. Thank you so much.
Bye now.
Thank you.
Bye, bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Anish Tarshi now in the Preef Skelton in Ogdala, Carta Wallish. Gurmaga Cart, thank you very much. 51551 or Ray at RTE.ie. Mary's been on. My 18-year-old Leaving Cert student has a ticket for Slane. Just to remind you, Harry Styles plays Slane 10th of June. Leaving cert starts, we reckon, the 7th of June. I'm extremely concerned as she will be travelling by bus from Tipperary to the concert and most likely not get home till the early hours of Sunday morning, so I can imagine she will sleep all day Sunday. How will she sit and concentrate for two exams on Monday is another concern. She has never sat a state exam due to COVID. Why can't all the exams exam students ask Harry to change the date? Oh, that's another way of doing it, isn't it? Yeah, I didn't think of that. So let's get on to Slane Castle and see if Harry will postpone or maybe do it earlier because of the leaving cert. I don't think that's going to happen either. I think people just have to work around it. Okay, it's quiz time. Here we go. Let's just start again because you want to hear the beginning of it, don't you? Yeah. Two quizzes standing by to answer three questions each. And there is a prize. And this week, it's the week of Nollaig na Mban. So if you know someone who deserves pampering and could do with a special relaxing city break in Dublin, why not go to the Brooks 4-star Boutique Hotel on Drury Street? Right smack in the middle of the city centre and beside the best boutiques and visitor attractions that the city has to offer. It's opposite a car park. There are rates for residents. Brookshotel.ie and has devised some excellent short break packages. You can find them on that Brookshotel.ie or Dublin 674,000. 674,000. Hello,
Siobhan
Bennett.
Hello, Ray. How are you?
Not too bad. You're in Connemara.
I am indeed.
Which is a big enough place.
Is
there any specific place in Connemara?
I'm near, kind of near Renville, Letterfrack area.
Ah, yeah, I know where you are. A beautiful part of the country. And you're involved in the tourist industry?
I am indeed, yes. Oh. I'm getting busy now.
What do you do?
With bookings. I own and run a company called Connemara Coastal Cottages. So we have, we're like an agency for about 80 different self-catering cottages around Connemara.
So you're an umbrella organisation and people come to you with a cottage and say, will you do the business for us?
Exactly. That's it.
Right. Okay. How you're busy already. So at what stage would you be all booked out or does that ever happen?
Oh, yeah. The last few years we have. Yeah. You'd be kind of by the end of April, you're nearly booked out. By the end of June, you're nothing left really.
Right. So this is coming into the busy time of the year for you then?
Exactly. Even over Christmas now, we were busy.
Right, okay.
So people get bored watching TV. And
they go online. Yes, where are we going to go this summer? We're never happy. Yeah. We can't live in the moment. What's wrong with us?
Exactly.
We're always looking forward, wishing our lives away. But there you go.
That's
the human condition. Who's at home?
Well, my little girl Maeve is at home. She's creche isn't opening again until tomorrow, so she's at home with her nanny looking after her.
And what age is Maeve?
She will be 4 in a few weeks.
Oh, great. Happy birthday, Maeve, in advance. and you're a kayaker in your spare time?
I am, yes. I was actually chatting to you before about Lena Ann Village.
Oh, yes, right. So, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a lovely...
Years ago when you were doing your...
Yeah, so that's Ireland's only fjord, is it? Or no, it's not Ireland's only fjord.
It is only proven fjord or something like that.
Right, okay. There's arguments about it. But obviously a lovely place to kayak then.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. Yeah, because you can get out in most weathers, like because it's kind of sheltered from a few different areas. But yeah, we kayak everywhere, but it's always handy to have somewhere that you can go.
And it's a lovely way to see the coastline kayaking.
Oh, for sure. It's a very different view.
Yeah. You're up against Niall McCarron, who's in Monaghan. Landlocked Monaghan. How are you doing, Niall?
Hello, how's it going?
Not too bad. It is landlocked, isn't it? Monaghan is landlocked, it is.
Yeah.
But your business is water. You're a plumber.
That's right, yeah. I walk around Dublin every day. I'm a gas plumber.
Right. And how long is the commute?
It takes me about an hour.
Well, that's not too bad. You must go in early then, do you?
Yeah, I go in early, yeah.
And home early.
Well, but I try to.
Yeah, but that's the plan anyway. So to miss rush hour on both ends of the day, which is good.
Yeah.
You're away for Christmas or over Christmas. Where were you?
Well, I was in Milan with my wife and 2-year-old daughter.
How was that?
It was a brilliant time, very relaxing.
Yeah.
Some beautiful food, some beautiful sights to see.
Yeah. And your daughter is 2, her name is Blondet. How was she on the airplane?
She was brilliant. There was lots of wows and when the plane goes up and the plane goes down.
Right. Wows as opposed to wows!
Yeah.
I always prefer the wows, yeah, that's great. Was that her first flight? Niall?
It was, yeah.
Great.
Yeah. She turned 2 next week. So
right, and she's been to Milan already. Look at her.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
She's very fashionable, like her mother.
Right. So it's a lovely age, chatting away and a bit.
Yeah. Starting to get the words out now and singing. She's singing as well.
Oh, great. Very entertaining. Okay, so it's Siobhan plays Niall. 3 questions each. If you go for a long clip by way of a clue and you get it right, you get a point. If you go for a shorter clip, it's more difficult. You get 2 points if you get it right there. And whoever gets the most on points is the winner. And if it's a draw on points, we go to a tie break question. Good luck to you both. Here we go. Okay, Siobhan Bennett in Connemara. The year is 2018. And we're starting on the small screen this time, on the television. So would you like a long clip or a short clip?
I'll go short.
Okay. This very sweary show about a ruthless family who own a media empire started in 2018. Can you name it?
All the other billionaires are strolling around in new bodies, but not dead, because we were too embarrassed to actually discuss it.
Well.
Oh, God. I have no idea.
No idea. Do you want to pluck a name out of your head? No.
Nothing's coming. No.
Succession.
No, I wouldn't have got it.
You wouldn't have got it. No. Brian Cox plays Logan Roy, who's one of the best, best worst characters on television, if you know what I mean. Anyway, it's well worth the watch. I'm sort of jealous that you haven't seen it, because it's there for you to enjoy.
On the list.
Yeah, Succession. Okay, right, Niall, television from 2018. long or short?
Yeah, might as well go long.
Go long, okay. This popular ensemble comedy first hit the screen in 2018. Can you name it?
I've decided to put my own spin on the uniform this year. I'll spin you across that floor. Get your blazer on. Look, Mummy, I'm not a clone. I should be allowed to express my individuality. I'm sorry, I'm not wearing my blazer. End of story.
Jerry, pass me the wooden spoon.
Well,
I think that's Derry Girls.
It is Derry Girls. Siobhan, you're probably shouting at the radio going, I knew that.
Within like a second.
I suppose they're always easy if you know the answer. Anyway, back to you, Siobhan, for your second question. Well done, Niall. This is on music from 2018. Do you want to go long or short?
Oh, I'm not good on music. I have to go long, please.
Okay. This was a duet which featured in a movie starring both singers. Can you name either the song or either of the singers who performed it? Long clip.
Tell me something, boy. Aren't you tired trying to fill that void? Or do you need more? Ain't it hard keeping it so hardcore?
Now
I'm raging that I didn't go short. Lady Gaga.
Yeah, there you go. Shallow and Bradley Cooper would have taken that as well. So a point there. You're even with Niall for the moment, but he has this one in hand. And it's music from 2018. Niall, for you as well, do you want to go long or short?
Yeah, go long.
Go long again, or playing it safe. Okay, this is a number one hit for this English singer. Can you name him or the song?
Homegrown alligator, see you later. Gotta hit the road. Gotta hit the road. The sun ain't changing the atmosphere. Architecture unfamiliar. I could get used to this.
Now.
Yeah, Blondet loves this song. It's Shotgun by George Everett.
Yes. Yeah, you don't get any extra points for giving me both. So you're on 2. Siobhan, you're on 1. So, you sort of have to go short on this one.
Yeah.
To stay in with a chance. So it's news and current affairs in 2018. You do want to go short, yes?
I
can't tell you what to do. Okay, there were queues of cars when a new food outlet opened in Blanchardstown in Dublin. What were they selling that people were so excited about? And here's your short clip.
That's the sound from Blanchardstown at 3 o'clock in the morning. People queuing. That is the actual lunacy.
I know it. It's Krispy Kreme donuts.
It is. Yes, yeah. And that was Joe Duffy talking about it there. You get 2 points. So you're still in the game.
Okay.
You're on 3. Niall is on 2. And if he goes, I'm talking to you, Niall, now. If you go long and get it right, we're into a tiebreak situation. If you go short and get it right, you're today's winner. So what do you want to do? News and current affairs in 2018.
I'll go short.
You go short. Okay. Here it is. Good luck with this. A decades-old policy ended in Saudi Arabia in 2018, allowing women to be able to do what activity? And here is your clue.
A perfectly normal act in every other country in the world, but until now, not in Saudi Arabia.
Hello?
Yeah, would it be vote?
Would it be which? Vote, no.
Voting?
No.
No.
It's driving.
Drive car.
Yeah, there was a hint in there. There was a car door closing. I thought that's a giveaway there, but that, you know, that's sorry about that, Niall. That means yeah, that yeah. Siobhan is today's winner. She came from behind.
Congratulations, yeah. Siobhan.
Thank you.
Yeah, Niall, sorry about that. We're going to send you out a Keep Cup.
No problem.
Yeah, and lovely talking to you. Mind yourself. Okay.
Bye.
See you now.
Thank you.
That's Niall McCarron there in Monaghan. Siobhan Bennett and Conor Murray, you're today's winner.
Yay, that's great. Thanks a million.
That was a yay. It was sort of, yay.
Sorry.
I know it's early in the year. It's hard to get the energy up. Brookshotel.ie. You can go there and see what's in store for you. And a lovely two-night break for you and a person of your choice. That's nice. Well done, Siobhan. Nice talking to you.
Brilliant.
See you now. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye, bye, bye.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
We're talking to Keith Brimer-Jones from the Great Pottery Showdown in a moment. But first, this one clocks in at 2 minutes and 23 seconds. Yay! Rock song! The Undertones and Teenage Kicks. The Great Pottery Throwdown is set to return to our screens on Sunday night. 12 new hopeful home potters hoping to emerge victorious as champion of the wheel. Our own Siobhan McSweeney is presenting, and Rich Miller. And our next guest are the judges. Good afternoon, Keith Brimer-Jones.
Good afternoon. Hi, Ray. Yeah, it's nice to speak to you.
Yeah, I played that song for you because you used to be in a punk band.
That's it. Honestly, it's a classic. It's one of my favourite songs. Absolutely brilliant. Who can't not like the Undertones?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
What was the name of the band you were in?
Oh God, a god awful name. The Wigs. We were called the Wigs. Yeah. And there's a skinnier version of me doing the rounds on YouTube with our single 6 o'clock shuffle many years ago.
Oh,
yeah.
6 o'clock shuffle, I know it well.
Wow, your searches have really come up trumps there. Brilliant.
I was looking at the YouTube video and Keith, and this is like all in the best possible taste. You were far too cheery and good looking to be a front man in a punk band.
Yeah. That's more, what I thought.
You're more suited to a boy band. Or
yeah, I know. Well, I was then. Yeah. Maybe a punk band now. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So the Great Pottery Showdown, it's sixth season. When you were asked to do it and somebody described and pitched it to you, what did you think?
I thought, no way. It's like, it'll be like watching paint dry, surely, you know, because I sort of understand the process of pottery, obviously, and I know how long it takes for one pot to be made. Mm. But obviously, you know, the beauty of editing and the magic of telly, you know, we've pared it down to a really lovely show, actually. And, you know, one of the other things that I didn't want to get into was I didn't really want to make car crash TV. Mm. You know, set people up to fail, and let's face it, you can quite easily do that with pottery. But Love Productions, Rich McCarrow convinced me that no, he wanted to really extol the virtues of the craft itself, and lo and behold, we have the Great Pottery Throwdown. So it all worked out really, really well in the end. Yeah,
and you're a big part of it, and pottery is a big part of your life. That's your career. After you left the Wigs, they must have been gutted. But there is something beautiful about creating things with your hands, isn't there?
Oh God, yeah, no, absolutely, and clay is one of the perfect mediums to be able to do that with. You know, have an idea in your head and to recreate it with clay in a three-dimensional or two-dimensional whatever form on a bench in front of your eyes is just amazing, and it's just so expressive, and it's very tactile, it's sensual, and you can get your hands dirty. dirty. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're not getting dirty, you're not having fun, as somebody said to me once.
No, that's right. You're not doing it right. Yeah.
Yeah. So when did you throw your first piece of whatever, your first pot?
My first ashtray. Yeah. No, basically, I went to secondary school like millions of others. Mm. And I was in the first year of secondary school, aged 11. And there was Mr. Mortman, our art teacher. He gave us all a lump of clay. And I literally touched the clay. It was like a religious calling for me. I touched that piece of clay and I haven't looked back since. It was an amazing epiphany moment for me. Yeah. Oh,
do you mind me asking? I see you're around my age. But what age are you?
Yeah, I'm 57.
Yeah. So you've been doing it for over, 40 years now?
Yeah. No, look, honestly, it's been a companion in my life, the ups and the downs throughout my whole career. And it was just something that I really took to instantly. I absolutely loved it. And quite frankly, it was the first time that any teacher had ever paid me a compliment at school and said, oh, you look like you're quite good at this. So whilst we were dodging all the clay with the rest of the class doing a massive clay fight. So yeah, no, it was great. It was a great time. Yeah.
Yeah. And you have your own business now. I was on the website. Lovely stuff.
So I formed a company called Make International with my business partner many years ago now. We sell ceramics all over the place, all over the world, to I think about 40 countries now around the world. And but I still like to get my hands dirty, and I have my own studio, and you know, what it's allowed me to do is get back to what I was doing originally, which was throwing on the wheel, which is what the thing I love. Yeah.
Is it sort of people talk, you know, mindfulness and meditation, and I have a notion about productive mindfulness. It seems that pottery is that, you know, that you have to concentrate, you have to give your full attention. You can't be drifting off thinking about the other worries of the world.
Yeah, no, honestly, it's so meditative. It's, you know, I would go to as far as to say now, for me, if I'm, you know, when I sit on the wheel downstairs in my studio and I start making things, it's when I start becoming really creative. My mind can go into overdrive. And because I've been doing it for so long, I think automatically my brain just knows that, you know, when I'm making something with clay, that's when I'm at my most creative. Not in just physically what I'm making, but also in my thought process for new ideas and things. And it's incredibly cathartic, and you can, absolutely lose yourself within it, whether you're making a pinch pot or, I don't know, a vase or a jardiniere or whatever. Yeah. You know, it's quite amazing, yeah.
What's a jardiniere?
A jardiniere, it's a pot on a pillar, basically.
A
there
pot
you go.
On a witch?
That's a pot on a pillar, you know, it's got a bit of a long stand. I thought I'd throw that at you just to sort of confuse you.
Thank you very much.
It's
thank
French.
Much. Yeah, right. I worked that out. Thanks very much, Keith Primer Jones.
Well done.
Part of your thing, if you go to the Make International, is a word collection, and so you have like a bowl with porridge written on it, and you have
It's all very ironic, and who would have thought it? You know, I've got dyslexia, and there I am creating a word range. Who knew?
Isn't that interesting that you have dyslexia?
No, absolutely, and I would go as far as to say that my dyslexia has actually enhanced my work, because not many, well, maybe a lot of people know this, but basically, if you have dyslexia, you have a better affinity with shape, form, and volume. Most architects are dyslexic. Norman Foster, you know, Terminal 5 and other such buildings, he's severely dyslexic, and what it allows him to do is look at the world through shapes and volume and form, and obviously being an architect, that's rather handy. So for me, coming up with the word range on pots, the first thing I look at when I look at words is the shape of the word itself, and that fascinated me, because you know my favourite word is the word hot, and that was the first word I ever put on a mug, which was quite handy.
In lowercase, is it? In lowercase.
In lowercase. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I see it. No, there, I love it. Yeah.
And so I sort of look at words as part of the design of the mug rather than the textual information that it gives you. So that's how it all came about. So, you know, for me, being dyslexic, working with clay is just a perfect combination. Works really well.
We were wondering why you haven't nodded to us, you know, because, you know, there's all your cups of things and as I said, a bowl with... porridge written on it, a jug with gravy written on it, and it's lowercase, and it's like that old typeface that was on a typewriter.
Curie and You,
what's
that's
the name
it. Curie and You, Curie and You. That's the font. Yeah.
Well, we were just thinking, would you consider maybe something just a nod to us over here, the other side of the Irish Sea? Like, I don't know if you know Father Ted, but Mrs. Doyle.
Yeah.
She was a big fan of the tea. And go on, go on, go on. I don't know. Go. I'm just looking at the shape of go on here, and it actually works. No, it's a nice. It has
would
a nice
work
shape
really
to it.
Well, yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah, I'm open for anything. That's a good. I'll put you on 10%.
Okay.
I'll stick it on a mug.
So there's other ones there. Deadly, which is a compliment in Ireland. Deadly. So if something's deadly, it's brilliant.
Oh, okay.
That's a nice one.
Okay. Oh well. Yeah, you'll have to say. Me a few choice words, because we do a few in Scots Glaswegian. Like Ouija and Curien, which apparently means, what does that mean, Marge? Curien.
That's his partner, Marge. They're just moving.
They're moving into
a church in Wales. Just so you know. Oh, sorry, I was just talking to people outside while you were talking to Marge. Listen,
that's it. Marge is with me in the studio here. So quite easily do that.
Great. So go on. I was just looking at go on. I don't know how would you put a comma there, or else it reads as goon. Anyway, we'll work on that. Keith Brimer Jones is the judge, the teary judge. We didn't get to talk to you about crying. Maybe that's for the next time. And the great Pottery Showdown starts again on Channel 4, 7:45. Siobhan McSweeney doing a brilliant job presenting, and Keith and Rich doing a brilliant job judging. Keith, lovely talking to you. Mind yourself.
Fantastic, and happy new year.
Yeah, happy new year. See you. Bye. That's it from us. Sarah and Cormac are on the way with Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday evening. There you go.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.